Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Empowering Family Caregiver Show on Blog Talk Radio. I am Polly Whitehorn, your host for today's show, sponsored by eCareDiary.com. Today, the topic of our show is massage therapy for the geriatric population. I am very pleased to introduce our distinguished guest, Dr. Nikki Monk. Dr. Monk is a licensed massage therapist in Lexington, Kentucky, and specializes in working with older adults. She recently completed her doctorate in gerontology at the University of Kentucky, and her dissertation examined the effects of massage therapy on experienced and physiological fatigue in healthy older adults. Before pursuing her doctoral training, Dr. Monk was the program director for the Lexington Healing Arts Academy. There, she contributed to the foundation education of new massage therapists. She is currently working with a research group at the University of Kentucky examining the referral to complementary and alternative medicine for chronic low back pain and developing manuscripts to disseminate findings from her dissertation. Well, Dr. Monk, I just have to say thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure.
Oh, great. Do you mind if I address you as Nikki going forward?
Oh, that's perfectly fine. Please do.
Oh, great. Now, I understand that you were a full-time practicing massage therapist and educator before you returned to school to get your doctorate. What was it that prompted you to further your education and get involved in research?
Well, once I started practicing massage therapy full-time, I found that a majority of my clients were older adults with a reasonable amount of age-related health conditions and functional concerns. And the foundation massage training that I received, which was typical for this profession in the United States, was not able to go into great depth about the biology of aging, age-related pathologies, or massage-related considerations when working with this population. And I was working safely and getting a lot of clinical experience in the field and seeing my clients get great benefits from the work we were doing together. But for my own knowledge and to better help my clients, I wanted more in-depth information about the biological and functional changes associated with aging and to get more of an understanding as to how I was affecting my clients with the work. I was also finding that for every one of the older adult clients I was working with, there would be two or three more who wanted to receive the work but did not have the means to pay for the treatments. And while I worked on a sliding scale and did quite a bit of volunteer work, what became very apparent to me was that older adults as a population are a group less likely to be able to receive massage due to its cost being primarily out of pocket. So I set off first to get more education and second to see why massage therapy is considered by many as only a luxury and is not included in covered medical care, especially for elders. I was very fortunate to find an excellent doctoral program here at the University of Kentucky, and it focuses on aging from a self-society perspective and really welcomed my interest of massage therapy with open arms. And I was looking at the existing research on massage therapy in general and regarding older adults, and I discovered that the evidence base for massage was scant, and there was like a plethora of anecdotal evidence that exists and was existing regarding the effects of massage for older adults, but very few well-designed scientific studies evaluating massage efficacy. And realizing that cost would continue to be a barrier to massage for older adults without methodologically sound research in the field, I decided to focus my attention on learning how and conducting scientific research focusing on massage in the hopes of contributing to the early growth of the evidence base. Overall, I saw many benefits my clients were receiving from massage, and I wanted to better understand these benefits, all the while contributing to the efforts to make the work as accessible as possible to as many older adults as I could.
Okay. Now, you just started to talk about what were some of the benefits that you were seeing. Please share that.
My clients would benefit physically and emotionally in so many ways from the sessions we had together. For example, one of the most profound experiences that I've ever had has come from working with a particular couple. I was initially contacted to work with the husband who was in the final stages of lung cancer, and the family wanted me to come and make him as comfortable as possible. I ultimately worked with both of them, and I actually still work with her. But when I came to interview him and see what he wanted out of our time together, he made one request, and that was to see his 50th wedding anniversary and to then be able to enjoy the party that they were planning to have. The event was a month and a half away. And in addition to comforting work and in an effort to relax him and improve his sleep, I decided to focus on his lower body in the hopes that his mobility could at the very least be preserved for as long as possible. And because he was relying heavily on a walker and at the time was beginning to have difficulty getting up and down from a seated position. And after a few short sessions, his mobility improved dramatically because his words were, "My legs aren't so tired," and he was also feeling much stronger. He kept a walker with him but did not rely on it as heavily for several weeks, and I'm happy to say that he not only lived to see his anniversary, but he very much enjoyed the party. All the pictures that I saw from the festivities, he was standing up and smiling and seemed to be very engaged and not just a spectator. And he and his family credited the work that we did together for his improved mood, sleep, his improved mobility, in addition to decreasing his pain levels and improving his physical function for quite a bit until the serious decline towards his death. I also worked with his wife, and she was rather frail and had a significant tremor in her right arm that she had had for years and years due to polio when she was in her 30s. And over the course of several months of weekly massage sessions, I began to notice the tremor was lessening until it eventually disappeared. And while the change occurred over a longish period of time, I thought it was really obvious and figured that it had been noticed by everybody. But when I pointed it out, she was like, "Oh, yeah, I did have that shaking. What happened to it?" And her adult children had the same reaction. They only recognized it was gone once I pointed it out. It's kind of funny how we don't notice some of the things that get better. But they were amazed. And 8 years later, the tremor has not returned. And she and her children credit the work that we've done together with not only alleviating that issue, but also with helping to naturally enhance her mood, calm her anxiety, and preserve her function. I think it's interesting to note, too, that the husband in this couple was a former university professor, and we had many conversations before he passed away as to how and why massage therapy affected his body. And it was through these conversations that I realized I wanted to know more about the aging process and understand the extent to which and the mechanisms through which massage therapy was influencing the body and the aspects associated with aging and functioning decline.
Wow, that's really, really fascinating. What are your other areas of interest for massage therapy and for massage therapy research and older adults?
I'm interested in several different areas of research pertaining to massage and older adults. I'd like to better understand how massage therapy can support good mental health and decrease depression. I'd also like to conduct research that examines the role of massage therapy in decreasing pain levels or increasing pain tolerance. Right now, I'm looking mostly at the extent to which massage can preserve and or improve physical function, with my primary goal being to understand how massage can blunt that decline curve that tends to accompany aging. Mm-hmm. And I'm essentially interested in identifying the anecdotal evidence for massage therapy that pertains to or could be related to older adults and designing practice-based research studies to inform healthcare recommendations for older adults.
Wow. Well, you know, you just started to talk a little bit about the anecdotal evidence. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes. Well, anecdotal evidence is simply the occurrences and outcomes that are observed in real-world settings without scientific constraints or controls in place. For all purposes, anecdotal massage evidence is the observed outcomes experienced by massage therapists in their practices or by their clients. It's essentially no standardizations to the outcome measures, and it's like personal testimonies. With all that being said, there's a lot of anecdotal evidence that supports the assertion that massage therapy is wonderful for older adults. The examples that I gave earlier about the couple I worked with are certainly some strong anecdotal evidence, but there are lots and lots of books and other resources that can highlight much better than I the great benefits that older adults can get from massage. But the big point for me is that it offers a non-pharmacological approach for a variety of emotional and physiological issues associated with aging. And when I just think about the power of just touch alone and what that offers people with massage, we know the necessity and importance of touch for babies, and that failure to thrive is a problem for infants that have touch withheld for whatever reason, So we acknowledge that babies need touch, and many of us would argue that children need touch and young people. And so I ask, you know, when do we as humans stop needing touch? And I believe that we never stop needing touch, and I actually think that as we get older, we need touch more because our society is set up such that as we get older, we receive less and less opportunities for that touch. So much of the evidence is just this anecdotal evidence, and it makes it very difficult to justify to the powers that be the significance that massage benefits afford older adults.
That's really fascinating, and it almost sounds like it's just easier to prescribe rather than to, you know, to prescribe a medication rather than to find the right sort of, you know, physical therapist to really work on these specific issues.
Yeah. Well, and with older adults too, there's such a pharmacological burden that you know, sometimes that isn't necessarily the best additional option. Let's add more pharmaceuticals, and in many cases they're very necessary, but massage offers that natural approach to some of these different things.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Maybe you could clarify this. How then does anecdotal evidence become scientific and contribute to the research evidence base for massage therapy and older adults?
So basically, well-designed scientific studies are needed. And it shouldn't be research for the sake of research. It should be studies that, while controlling for as many variables as possible, still reflect massage as it's practiced in society and includes pertinent populations like older adults. In other words, it's all well and good to examine massage therapy in, say, athletes, which a lot of research is done in athletes, but it has to be recognized that athletes are a population that are already performing at optimal levels. And when performance is the outcome and the samples are athletes, it causes a ceiling effect that can mask what would likely be subtle changes, but would be more pronounced and more meaningful in a less robust population. And so getting some of this research and actually doing it in the population, like older adults, is really critical to getting this anecdotal aspect of massage recognition into the scientific recognition.
Mm-hmm. I have a question that was not among the prepared questions, but how many therapists are out there that really are trained to work with the older population? Because it's obviously a very specific training, and also you have to have that very special kind of personality that will be able to engage with an older person.
You're absolutely right about that. Now, as far as how many are out there, I really couldn't say. I would imagine there's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it does take a special kind of person. I think with any population, personalities go are attracted to different areas and different groups of people. Now, as far as the training is concerned, I think that speaks to the lack of a national standardization in this country for massage therapy, unfortunately. But
yeah, my concern. Yeah.
Right, right. And so it's really important, I think, to ask questions of the massage therapists who you're interested in working with, either your loved ones or yourself, and to find out what their training is. I think that there's something that training can't afford, and that is a person with a passion to work with older adults.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even when I was training body workers, one of my points of thumb is you probably want somebody who's got a few years of experience under their belt. But at the same time, I had students come through the door that from the get-go were some of the best intuitive body workers I'd ever met and did beautifully with older adults simply because they had that passion. They already had that innate connection with that population.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would hate to say that no matter what, you want to have somebody with 2 or 5 years experience. It really has to do with where their passion lies and what kind of training they've gone to get on their own.
Mm-hmm.
I would venture to say that my training is a little excessive, going to get a doctorate in it. But you know, one of the reasons I went to go do that was to go back to the massage community and help to educate them further in some of those real specific pathologies and age-related changes that happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's some really great training groups that focus on training massage therapists for older adults. And so, you know, if somebody has taken an advanced certification course with them or something like that, that would be ideal.
Oh, that's really interesting. That's really interesting. How would a family member go about finding a massage therapist and asking about that training? What's that training? Is there a specific title for that training?
I think the main question would be, has there been additional training in working with older adults?
Mm-hmm.
I would hate to just, you know, say just one group or another group over another in because I don't have any affiliation with any specific training groups. And they're in different parts of the country. So somebody who's, say, in New York might not be accessible to go all the way to California for that group who does training. So just asking if there's additional classes. But to find a massage therapist in your area, there is a great organization called the American Massage Therapy Association, or the AMTA. And they have a website that will help you find a trained therapist in your area, and they list the qualifications of the members in good standing. So not only will they say, you know, the different kind of modalities and populations that they serve, but in many instances they'll actually talk about some of the further training that they've had, and there might even be a bio of some of those folks and their contact information. So that's a really great place to start, and it also lets you know how long they've had the This group also provides liability insurance, and so how long they've been associated with them, the professional organization, and then also your state licensure board.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say that all states have a licensure board. Unfortunately, therapists don't require license everywhere.
Okay, that's really interesting. So not all 50 states have a licensing board for massage therapy.
Correct. There are some states that you could just say, hey, I'm a massage therapist, and you know, do the work. There's not very many anymore, and that's something that we as a profession are really trying hard, and the AMTA is really trying hard to change, because, as you can imagine, it's not only dangerous for patients and clients and people receiving the work, but it's also dangerous for legitimate massage practitioners who could go into a situation where somebody is not taking the profession seriously.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's really fascinating. You know, we were talking a little bit about costs before. I mean, can you give me an idea of what are some of the costs that are associated with massage therapy? And then, of course, the big question about, you know, is it covered by Medicare or Medicaid or a private insurance company? Or does that vary from state to state, or how does that work?
Well, you know, I would say it varies more from region to region as far as insurance is concerned. Certainly out west and some of the other progressive areas in that regard, it's going to be covered under insurance policies. But the same insurance company covering somebody in California may cover something different in, say, Kentucky where I am or New York where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really very dependent on the insurance. As far as Medicare and Medicaid coverage, to my knowledge, there isn't any. The only way that it could be covered is if it's done with a physical therapist, and for the most part, they don't tend to do that. But, of course, the scope of people who massage therapy falls under their scope of practice is pretty large. I mean, nurses can do massage therapy, but it's there again, it's part of in patient treatments, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be when it's covered. But for, like, regular massage care or rehabilitation care that's strictly massage, it's really hard to get that covered. So the cost is primarily out of pocket. It can be anywhere from $25 an hour to $90 or more dollars per hour, depending on the setting and the experience level of your therapist. So unfortunately, that's one of the reasons I'm getting involved in research. Is it's my hope to see the evidence base build enough that Medicare and Medicaid especially will start covering this for folks.
That's wonderful, and I just have to applaud you for taking this on. I mean, you really are a crusader, and that's just wonderful. Can you just kind of give me an overview of what would be involved in a massage therapy session, and what should people expect from the session? And we kind of talked a little bit about what we should expect from the therapist, but if you could just kind of highlight what a typical session would be for a geriatric patient.
Sure. I think the most important piece is that the treatment should be tailored to that person's needs.
Mm-hmm.
And a big red flag, I think, for a massage therapist, if they come in and say, this is how it's going to be, there's a problem there. Move to a different therapist. It's
okay.
kind of like choose. You can try on as many as you want until you find the perfect fit. But you're going to have a treatment that's tailored to your needs. In many instances, there's a massage table involved, but especially with this population, not everybody can lay on a massage table. So they can do the work either sit with the person sitting in a chair or in a wheelchair or even perhaps lying on their bed if they can't transfer, or even in a special massage chair they could do the work. And you would expect to have to be asked questions about what your expectations are, what your goals are, and then what, depending on your comfort level, how much work and how deep and how fast you want to go with that.
Mm-hmm.
So an in-depth interview that assesses the needs and the health of the recipient. You want to make sure that you're telling them about your medications and any falls or injuries, those sorts of history pieces, because they may have other outcomes that you guys can work towards that maybe the patient or the client hadn't even thought about. But you can always expect a caring and compassionate person, or you should expect that, and also expect that privacy and be maintained.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one of the questions that I get a lot are, well, I don't want to just strip down in front of this person, and never at any time is that the case. It's, you know, if somebody needs assistance getting undressed and getting on the table or what have you, we can certainly do that. But we tend to have a sheet or a towel or something to use as draping so that modesty is acknowledged and privacy is kept. And you can expect to be working with someone for anywhere from, you know, 15 to 20 minutes for some of the more frail people to half an hour to an hour for more robust individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's, you may start slow. You may start with, you know, a couple of 10 or 15-minute sessions a couple times a week and then work yourself up to where you're receiving an hour at a time.
That's fascinating. You know, I wish, you know, in thinking about my father who had suffered from Parkinson's for many years, you know, it was one of the things we never considered, exploring the possibility of getting him a massage. And as I'm sure it really would have helped him enormously.
Yes, I have. I have not worked with anyone with Parkinson's, but I have worked with somebody with ALS.
Oh boy!
And
yeah.
And that was. I know that they really appreciated the work, not just from, you know, the relaxation standpoint, but they got really great benefits from their from the pain.
Mm-hmm.
Also. But I think there's no evidence to back this up right now. But Parkinson's deals with dopamine,
mm-hmm.
and there's issue with the and of course dopamine is a hormone that affects the motor control.
Mm-hmm.
And there's massage research in the depression field that shows that massage helps with dopamine levels. It increases dopamine levels, and to date, I don't know of any massage studies that have looked at dopamine levels in Parkinson's patients and with that mobility piece. But, you know, it just seems very logical to me that based on this work with dopamine and depression and massage, that it would be a great place to look to see if there's some benefit there for folks.
Oh, boy. It sounds like we're putting it out there for a study.
I would love to see that proposal. That's for sure. I'd love to see the funding for that. That'd be wonderful.
Yeah. Well, that's really, really fascinating. Well, I wanted to say thank you so much, Nikki, for joining us. It's really been
welcome.
A pleasure. You really opened my eyes to the benefits of massage therapy for the older population, and I know that our audience will be researching massage therapists in their area, because I think that it's very clear that it has a very positive response. So
great.
I just want to say thank you again for joining us. And if our audience would like to contact Dr. Monk, here is her email, and that it is www.mc.uky.edu/gerontology. I'd like to thank our audience for tuning in today. Join us next time on Tuesday, December 20th at 2 p.m. Eastern, where I will interview Dr. Charles K. Ross, author and chair of the African American Studies Program and Associate Professor of History and African American Studies at the University of Mississippi. We will discuss his caregiving responsibilities and experiences. To learn more about eCare Diary and our upcoming shows, please visit www.ecarediary.com. Registration is free and gives you immediate access to your personal care diary tool. You can find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. My Twitter address is ecare_diary. Thank you again for joining us. See you next week. Bye now.